Coming to you live from the west side of the I Street Bridge, it's The Nate Darling Show.
Call me sir, goddammit.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, trust him, he's a professional.
Pardon my French, but you're an asshole.
Here's Nate.
I am a professionally trained radio DJ.
Hey, everybody. Hello, Jason.
Hello.
Hello, Kareem.
Hello, hello, hello.
Welcome back to another episode of The Nate Darling Show, recording on Monday, Memorial Day, as opposed to Tuesday night. So figured, hey, let's get together a little earlier and do the show so we can get out of here and not be out late and got to be at work tomorrow.
Right.
Ha.
Roll into Tuesday.
It's true. It's very true. We had a lot of stuff to talk about. Our president is back from Europe. We'll talk a little bit about that very big, huge, successful trip. It's according to Heme. Plus, if you've been to one of the Trump properties, you might have noticed a Trump coat of arms. That's not exactly his. We'll explain that. And what happens when the Burger King gets into a spat with a real king? So it's apparently not just Donald Trump that's ruffling European feathers this week. It's a little bit more than that. But before we get into all that, Jason Casey, how was your week?
Week's been pretty good. It was really nice to have these 3 days off.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. I feel recharged, ready to go at it for another month and a half, 2 months, right before July 4th.
Until the 4th of July.
Yeah. Living for those three-day weekends.
Well, the 4th might be a four-day weekend because it's on a Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That might be a four-day weekend for us.
It's entirely possible.
Who knows?
I believe I have to work on the 3rd, but I have the 4th off.
That might be my situation also.
Which isn't necessarily bad.
It's not a bad thing.
Because then you get a one-day week and a three-day week.
Yeah.
So, and a lot of people take that day off. So it's usually a lot less of the people who might irritate you at work that day.
There you go. Yeah, those quiet days at work can be nice without any distractions.
It's true. It's absolutely true.
I went shopping just actually right before I came here.
Oh.
I was at Arden Fair and got some new shoes.
Oh, fancy.
Yeah, some work / dress shoes.
Did you get a romper?
I did. I got two rompers.
Romp him.
Romp hims. Yeah. And
romp heme. Romp heme.
Romp heme. Yeah. So I got two couple shirts. It was cool. I had some. There's this place called Delta Soul inside Arden that has pretty good food. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay. I'm not gonna lie either. I tend to avoid the Arden Fair Mall.
Yeah. Getting in and out can suck, but if you go the back way.
Well, no, it's more the people that are there.
Oh, that too.
That's just any
mall.
It is to an extent, but I would rather drive the extra 20 minutes and get to Roseville to that mall.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I feel like those people are just as bad.
It's very different. The mall in Roseville, not as claustrophobic. Arden Fair Mall gets very claustrophobic.
It can get full.
If you're not from Sacramento, the first time I went to Arden Fair Mall, I'm like, oh my God, this place is huge.
Yeah.
And it is, to an extent. The one in Roseville is bigger, and even bigger now that it burnt down and they rebuilt part of it.
Yeah.
But the Arden Fair Mall is two levels, but it's, and they've got carts and kiosks down the middle of the first floor, and it just gets really crowded and claustrophobic. It's not open. It doesn't feel.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's.
I can see that. I can pick. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
And I know part of the extra stuff. I know all of the security that's in place because of all the gang activity that happens there.
Oh yeah.
So it's not necessarily the friendliest place on earth. But I will say that they do have one thing specifically over the Roseville Galleria and any of the other places around Sacramento. It's got a bigger lid store than any place else. So if you're going to buy a hat.
They're lid stores.
Lid store. But here's the deal with the lid store. This is a pro tip from you. Go around back. park on the end near Macy's on the top level of the garage behind the mall, go in through JCPenney and then into Lids and then exit the same way.
We always park right there.
In, out, don't deal with any of that nonsense.
That's the best. That like that's the only way I go to Arden.
Yeah.
That's the only way I go to Arden.
Yeah. Or you can valet.
Yeah, nah.
You're not going to valet at the mall?
Nah. Ain't going to happen.
Kareem, how was your week?
My week was good overall. One of my football kids graduated from high school, so got to go watch 700 kids, it looked like, graduate at the Golden One Center.
Oh, okay. How was that? How's that venue as compared to Sleep Train for a graduation?
I liked it a little better.
Okay.
Parking is worse. No. I take that back because there's a parking app and you can get your parking space ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're smart and know that exists, then it's like going to Arden.
Yeah.
So we always park at the City Hall garage, which is like $5 and it's a couple of block walk. But when you walk back and by the time you get back to the parking garage, you're in and out and you're like out of downtown.
Yeah.
And you didn't hit any traffic.
Yeah. It's several blocks, but it's actually closer than if you were parking a little bit away from the Golden One Center, but from Sleep Train Arena. Because you had the arena and then there was a big expanse out before you even hit a parking space.
Yeah.
And then you had the parking spaces from there.
And then that was just nuts.
Yeah, and trying to get out of there. So actually, it probably is faster than getting out of Arco.
Yeah, use the app if you're going to do that.
If you're going to use the app, yeah. So,
and that City Hall garage is no joke.
Yeah.
That garage is pretty dope. And the Memorial one also.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the one by the library.
Yeah.
It's not bad.
Yeah.
Well, everybody that's not in Sacramento, those are the places you need to park the next time you come out.
Yeah, come on out.
Yeah. So, like I said, you're in and out. So, there's not usually a big line. So, and then actually the ceremony itself went pretty fast.
Good.
So, they were aware that they had like 700 kids, and I may be over, but it was close.
Yeah.
So the actual ceremony itself went pretty quick. Didn't have a bunch of the fluff that normally is in there. I didn't know it was possible to have a 4.72 GPA.
It's ridiculous.
Everything has changed. Everything has changed. It used to be the highest you could get was a 4.0, but then there were some people who were like, well, that doesn't really reflect, and what if you do this, and what if you have extra, and then it became this whole...
The whole AP classes. The more AP classes you take.
So the valedictorian had a 4.72, and the two salutatorians had a 4.71.
That's craziness.
And I was like, somebody is not getting laid.
Yeah, well, you know who else is not getting laid?
Oh, man. So I went to that. Then I went to the barbecue for that yesterday. Let's see. Worked a little bit on Saturday and a little bit yesterday. The good thing about my job is usually to actually go view a project doesn't take me like 20, 30 minutes.
Right.
So it was, the bad part is sometimes I got to drive 2 hours to do that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's always a gotcha somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
We went out and celebrated our 6 month anniversary.
Oh yeah! Ooh,
congratulations!
Thank you. 6 months of married life, and we went to Morton's Steakhouse.
Mm-hmm.
Morton's, and we went on the most magical unicorn of nights.
Oh yeah!
Oh yes, and I'll explain why. First of all, we were going to valet because it's on 7th and Capitol. There's not a lot of parking there. Pull up. There's no valet there at the valet stand, and we wait. Like 1 minute, then the cars that were in front of us pulled out and we took the magical spot at the meter right in front of Morton's.
Wow. All right. Starting off awesome.
That was the magical unicorn part number one. Magical unicorn part number two. There were a lot of things that they assured us never happens at Morton's that happened at Morton's. For instance, when the waiter poured my glass of wine and spilled probably about an eighth of it down the wine glass and onto the tablecloth.
Ooh.
He assured me that that never happens.
Oops.
Yet it happened.
Mm.
Then, as we moved on a little further in the night and no bread arrived at the table, and we flagged somebody down and said, hey, how about some bread? And they brought out the bread and said, oh, we're sorry about the bread. That never happens.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the end of the Magical Unicorn Night. No, no.
Uh-oh.
No, no.
I thought this was a happy Magical Unicorn Night.
Well, you know, you can't pick your magical unicorns.
Okay, you're right, you're right.
So then Leslie and I both order the filet. I order the larger one. She orders the smaller one.
Mm-hmm. The petite?
Yeah, I think six versus 12 ounces.
Yeah, I'm just...
And they come out at the same time as the sides, which is great. We both ordered the medium. Mine is cooked medium. Hers is not cooked medium. Hers is severely undercooked, which I'm assured never happens. So they take it back to the kitchen, and I'm sort of like, do I eat? Do I not eat? What do I do?
Right.
Going through all this other stuff. And so we wait. It took probably like 5 to 10 minutes, and the steak comes back out, and it's presented again, and it is again not cooked medium. They've had twice now. It's still not too medium yet. They haven't overcooked it yet. It's not even too medium.
It's the same steak.
Same steak. It's the same steak.
They use the same steak the second?
Yes, sir.
That never happened.
So we're assured. This is really embarrassing. This never happens. We should be able to cook a steak. So they bring it back to the kitchen. We wait another 10 minutes. And the steak comes back out. And the manager, meanwhile, comes by and says, would you like a fresh side? Because she had ordered the mashed potatoes. And at this point, they're cold.
Yeah.
And so that's very nice. And the manager is very apologetic. And she goes, we're going to take care of you. She says, the next time you come, here's my card. Call and ask for me, and I'll take care of you. I don't know what this means.
What does that mean?
I have no idea what that means. So anyway, the steak comes back out. This is the third appearance for the steak. This time, it's cooked medium plus more. It's now overcooked. And yes, it's the same steak because it's the exact same cuts in it that she has made. I could recognize this steak in a lineup at this point.
That should never happen.
I'm assured it never happens. It never happens. Meanwhile, the manager has taken care of it. The manager has comped her steak.
Well, she hasn't been able to eat a steak yet, so I hope they would.
Right.
I hope they
and
would
it,
comp
it. Finally, it was overdone, but they comp it.
Did she eat it when it was overdone?
Yeah, it wasn't. Uh-huh. It wasn't like Donald Trump.
It was okay. All right.
It wasn't well done with a side of ketchup.
Okay. All right.
But it was past medium, and she was getting very hungry at this point. So anyway, we had gotten there a couple minutes early, and we had gone and had a drink at the bar. So we eat our meal and we get our check, and we decide, because the one steak has been comped, we're not going to use the gift card that we have. We'll save that for another time.
Mm-hmm.
And so we give the credit card and send him off with it. And he comes back and goes, just to let you know, your drinks that you had at the bar didn't get put over onto your bill before. So we put them over and I ran the card. So that's why it's more than it was.
That never happened.
No, didn't hear anything about that. And fine, we ordered the drink. Fine, it didn't come over on the original bill. Do not run my motherfucking card without telling me. You just ran a charge $30 more than the bill you took away from me.
Ooh.
That's not okay.
Yes.
But because it's our 6-month anniversary,
you're keeping it cool.
I'm keeping it cool.
You're keeping it cool?
I'm not going to.
You're keeping it cool?
I am not going to do anything.
I'm so proud of you,
to
Nate.
Ruin the night.
I am proud of you.
Nate, I'm excited for you. I mean, like, this is, all right. So
I also
have, baby's growing up.
I also have not, despite many urgings from Open Table, written a review of my experience at Morton Steakhouse.
Well, you should give her a call. This is what we should do.
Call her on the show.
We can call her on the show. Or what we could do is we could go out there one day as the show.
Sure.
And have dinner. But call her first.
Sure.
And then let her know that this is going on the show. We've already reviewed Morton's once on the show.
You do realize how much Morton's costs, right?
Oh, yeah. No, I realize that, like, it's going to be at least $60 to $100 for me if I want to eat there.
Yes, that's if you have the tiniest steaky steak and no sides. Because the sides are like $13 to $15.
Yeah.
Which is fine. It's a steakhouse. It's a high-end steakhouse, and I understand that.
But, you know...
Doesn't sound like a high-end steakhouse from what you're telling us.
Exactly.
I worked at Tahoe Joe's, all right, which is not a high-end steakhouse, but it's still a steakhouse.
Correct.
But it's a step above Outback, but not probably at the level of Cattleman's. Maybe not. Cattleman's a little bit nicer. Black Angus. Working there, if you sent back a steak... It went into a different pile. It went into a throwaway pile. It did not go back on the grill.
Didn't just throw it back on the grill twice?
No, especially if it's already been cut into. Like, you don't, like, you can do that in the back before they see it, you know, if you're unsure. But first of all, A, you should be never unsure of your steak that you're cooking like that.
Right.
That is so many bads right there that I just don't get. Like, that is not, that should not, especially at a place where you're paying upwards of $50 to $60 for a piece of meat.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Also was not comped for the wine that he spilled. This never happens. Really? Because it's happened.
So,
by the way, this is the second time. I don't remember what happened the first time we went to Morton's Steakhouse. I was not impressed the first time I went to Morton's Steakhouse in Sacramento.
Yeah, that sounds like me with the Cheesecake Factory.
But fuck the Cheesecake Factory though. Like,
yeah, but my experiences at my first two experiences at the Cheesecake Factory was similar to the way you described myself.
I hate that place. Like, it's the type of place, like, it's like the fucking worst. Like, it's like at least with Mimi's Cafe, like, it's a breakfast place and I can get behind any style breakfast place. I don't care because I go to McDonald's for breakfast sometimes and I think that's delicious. So breakfast, you have, let your freak flag fly and do whatever the fuck you want. But when you're serving something called Cheesecake Factory, like, their fucking menu, they like try to be upscale, but they're not. Like, I mean, like, it's like the Elephant Bar too. Like, it's like trying to hide and say, like, oh, you are doing really well. Like, it's a Applebee's. You're at an Applebee's.
Maybe a Chili's.
Yeah. Like, but that's where you are. FYI.
If you see me in the Cheesecake Factory, somebody else is paying. That's literally the only way I go, is if somebody else is paying.
I mean, I worked in the service industry for a while. I mean, like, right. and I worked at Elephant Bar. I mean, in all of them, like, it's ridiculous.
Now, I will say this: they were all very nice. They were all very apologetic,
of course,
and they all assured me that this never happens. But when you have multiple things that never happen, that all happen the same night, that's what you call a magical unicorn night.
Yeah.
At Morton's. And if I go back a third time and I have a very similar experience, I shan't be so nice.
Well, you need to call that lady up and book a meeting. Like, you and your wife could do that. I'll do it. I would be down to go just because it'd be ridiculous.
You know, I'll let her handle it.
Yeah. She'll have a clear head about it.
Because to be fair, my steak was cooked perfectly.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
My steak was cooked
perfectly. You know, that's probably the only reason that you were able to keep it together. You think so? Or
No. It was very much in the forefront of my mind that this was our 6-month anniversary, and I did not want to
be the yeah.
Yeah, just let it go.
Right.
Let her be the one who's angry about things, and let her get that, because if I get upset, then she's going to get upset, not with them, but with me.
Yes.
Which, by the way, is bullshit.
Yes.
But that is how...
Yeah, that's how it works.
That's how it works with women, is if you get upset about something, they get upset with you for getting upset about something, not get upset with the original thing that they should be getting upset about.
I think any partner, not just women...
You're
like...
causing a scene. No, I'm not. Do you want to see me cause a scene? Because I'll cause a scene.
I'll do that to Chris. Like, Chris, like, we'll be talking about something, and she'll bring up something, like we'll be talking... It'll turn to money or something like that, and we'll be talking in front of other people. I'm like, I don't want to talk about money in front of other people.
Right.
Like, that's just... Not even, I don't want to do that. Yeah. And so it's like, we got shut down. You want to hear me get upset? I'll get upset.
So I let it go.
Yeah. Good for you.
It was fine. Ultimately, it was fine. We didn't get charged for anything that we didn't have. And we didn't. And of course, they comped her steak, which is fine. But it was a magical unicorn experience, because stuff never happens. It never happened. By the way, that Moscow Mule, I don't know if it's $15 good. Just saying. That's what the drinks are. The drinks, everything there is $15 or more.
Yeah, of course.
That's what it starts at.
Oh, man.
But you know that walking in.
You know it. That's just, yeah. You're going there for the perfect steakhouse experience.
For the perfect steakhouse experience, which we did not have. But that never happens.
It never happens.
Never happens. So Donald Trump back from Europe. He is very excited about his experience there. He tweeted, "Just returned from Europe. Trip was great success for America. Hard work, but big results!" Exclamation point. I don't know about that. German Chancellor Angela Merkel doesn't seem to think so. She said Europe can no longer rely on its allies. She didn't mention President Trump by name, who criticized major NATO allies and refused to endorse a global climate change accord. But she told the packed beer tent in Munich that the days when Europe could completely count on others were over to a certain extent. She said, "I've experienced this in the last few days, and that is why I can only say that we Europeans must really take our fate into our own hands. Of course, in friendship with the United States of America, in friendship with Great Britain and his good neighbors, wherever that is possible, also with other countries, even with Russia."
At least we didn't get lumped in with it, even with.
Yeah.
Germany's going to become a power again.
Yeah, you know, that might be a mistake, letting Germany feel like it has to defend itself. Because the last two times that's happened, it hasn't worked out well for the rest of us.
Yeah, but this time the French are behind them, you know?
Yeah,
because he just told Putin to his face that his two news organizations were propaganda.
Yeah.
It's true.
I mean, like, I think that they've already fought so many times, I think, and there's been so many wars on that continent that there's a good chance that maybe the leaders and the people there have learned from their history.
Right. So
hopefully, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. You never know.
I don't expect that to be the thing. But
I think the leaders have.
Yeah.
Some of the people haven't, but the leaders have.
Yeah.
It's just like here. Probably about 80% of this country has figured it out.
Boy, it's hard to see that at this point in time.
I get it.
It really is.
That we need to be moving forward. But we got that 20% I'm gonna say 70% of the country's figured out. We got that 20 to 30% that still wants to hold on to the good old days and they do not exist. They actually never did exist.
Okay, here's another tweet from Donald Trump. "North Korea has shown great disrespect for their neighbor China by shooting off yet another ballistic missile. But China is trying hard." What does that even mean?
That means that North Korea, like, when President Trump is saying, like, agreeing with China, like, he's trying to be a go-between between China and North Korea. Like,
China is trying hard to what? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
They're trying hard to let them do whatever they want.
I don't even know. I do not even know. And now I'm devastated.
He's trying to be a businessman.
Yeah.
Which means he's trying to play both sides against the middle. And like, you're the president. You can't do that.
Well, here's what he's doing. He's trying to run the United States government like it's his business.
Right.
In fact, he's been using the government to enrich his own businesses. His organization has said essentially that the Constitution is far too difficult to follow and it's inconvenient, so they're not going to, where they're not disclosing what they're taking in from foreign governments in terms of revenue from the Trump hotels, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there you go. In more important news, Mike Trout has a UCL tear in his left thumb and surgery is an option, and he's headed to the disabled list. That's devastating news. It's just in as we're recording. Minimum couple weeks absence, more if he has surgery. That's going to be determined tonight. That's a death blow to my confidence. You do realize that was all I had left this summer was the Angels. That was it. That was what I had left.
Oh, yeah.
Was the Angels. And the best player in baseball is now out with a torn thumb ligament. God damn it.
Sorry, buddy. It's tough.
Hold on, I need some wisdom. Hold on, I need some Twitter wisdom. And that's a pinned tweet. God damn it! Even the Iron Sheik has let me down. That's it. I can't even go on anymore. Sorry, it's terrible. Let me collect my thoughts. Ha ha ha.
I wish people could be here and they could see. I can see the thoughts chasing each other right now. They're going in and out of doors. Like, one just went in a door, and then Nate looked at it, and they looked at each other and stunned, and then, like, they went into they both went back into the same doors.
One of them came by and hit me in the nuts. So weird.
Somebody just ran across this with some feather boa. What's going on?
It's craziness. All right. Now, when Iriam Chanel Amir Dixon pulled her vehicle up to a drive-through window at a Wendy's near her Minnesota home last Thursday, she had one specific demand. The 25-year-old Dixon requested that the French fries be fresh. Seems pretty reasonable, right?
I mean, I remember getting that request often at McDonald's.
Well, this time it prompted an argument between Dixon and Wendy's employees, three of whom subsequently were interviewed by the Coon Rapids Police Department.
Coon Rapids?
Coon Rapids.
Oh, God.
Coon Rapids Police Department. During the argument with the Wendy's workers, Dixon allegedly started to reach through the drive-thru window, so one employee threw a soda at her.
Oh, man.
At that point, the workers reported, Dixon returned to her car and grabbed her mace and started spraying it through the drive-thru window. A Wendy's manager standing at the window got hit directly in the face, causing burning in her eyes and difficulty breathing. Two other workers were hit with the spray, which caused burning pain and other discomfort. Yeah, that's what mace does. Dixon was charged with a felony for her use of tear gas.
Oops.
She lives in a Brooklyn Park, which is a Minneapolis suburb, faces a maximum of 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine if convicted of the attack. Wow.
My eye.
Yeah, not a good time in Minnesota.
Oh, man.
She looks sad, but her eyebrows are raised in her mugshot, so she looks surprised, too.
She's like, hey, not yet.
I'm really surprised. Oh, you know who didn't look like that in their mugshot? Tiger Woods.
Oh, man.
Tiger DUI Woods. That was sad. Were you shocked by the Tiger Woods news?
Yes and no. I mean... I found out about it in the middle of Stephen A. Smith and Max Kellerman first take. But no, I'm not necessarily shocked. I mean, the fact that he hasn't got one before is kind of more shocking than the fact that he got one.
That's a fair point.
I mean, shoot. Who hasn't almost got one?
Yeah. Who hasn't almost gotten...
Yeah.
Three.
are you as bleary eyed in your booking shots as he was?
I don't remember either one. Like, well,
did
one
you
of
make them your Tinder profile pic?
I did for a while. People were swiping right. I was like, I was almost as famous as the prisoner, the con model.
Oh yeah, he actually is a model now,
yeah,
too.
He's making it.
He is, except for where he's not allowed because he's a convicted felon. There's that. Yeah. There's that.
Yeah.
All right. Meanwhile, let's go to Pennsylvania. A dirtbag arrested for sucker punching a man with cerebral palsy is actually a worse person than he appears.
No.
I know. It's pretty shocking. His name's Barry Baker. He was charged earlier this month with battery for an unprovoked attack outside a 7-Eleven in Westchester, where Baker has lived and worked for a tow company. As seen in the video surveillance video, Baker, who's an ex-con, walloped the 22-year-old victim after mocking the way he walked, which is not cool at all. It's a little lens, but that's not the first time he's run afoul of the law, obviously. He's been charged with assault, harassment, and disorderly conduct. Initially released on $25,000 bail, he's going to return to jail after a judge this week issued an arrest warrant charging him with violating his probation. See, according to court records, he was placed on 3 years probation in 2015, only 2 years ago, for violating terms of a probation sentence, and he just can't stay out of trouble.
Oh, so close.
Following his conviction for theft from a motor vehicle. In addition to his arrest this month, Baker allegedly violated his probation by not paying restitution, fines, and court costs of nearly $4,500. But there's more. His rap sheet includes convictions for theft, forgery, conspiracy, and receiving stolen property. The latter count stemmed from his involvement in a crime on par with punching a guy with cerebral palsy in the face. See, back in 2007, he pleaded guilty for his role in the theft of hundreds of bronze flag holders that mark the graves of veterans at two Pennsylvania cemeteries.
Oh, he shouldn't have got probation at all.
Oh, man.
Nope. He and his accomplices stole the flag markers so they could be sold as scrap metal. Police recovered the nearly 250 flag holders worth about $10,000 from a Pennsylvania scrap company. He's charged with 143 counts of intentional desecration of a venerated object. He pleaded guilty to felony conspiracy and receiving stolen property counts. Sentenced to a minimum of 11 and a half months in jail, 23 months in custody, was ordered to participate in a drug and alcohol treatment program and undergo mental health evaluation. So, not a good dude.
He's probably a Trump supporter.
Venerated, like a venerated object. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Like, so
it's a flag holder.
Right. I can imagine that that's one of those laws that's been on the books since like they first had laws. Like that might be like, you know, civic code like 102. Like,
right.
It's like the oldest one. Like you don't steal stuff from the cemetery, especially the veteran cemetery, dude. Like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me just say this.
He almost would have gotten away with it if it wouldn't have been for that
those meddling kids. Those meddling kids. Oh, and that security camera. I'm going to say this, and this is something that has been said to the African-American community for quite some time.
Yeah.
This guy's a white guy. We need to start speaking out against shithead white guys.
Oh, without a doubt.
It has to happen. There's no more making excuses like, oh, he was on drugs. Oh, he had a rough upbringing. Oh, he's got mental. No, he's a fucking asshole.
He's an asshole.
He's an asshole. Everybody stand up and say it. He's an asshole. If we're going to call on the Muslims to point out the Muslim extremists who are willing to blow themselves up, then we have to call on the white people to point at the white assholes who are stealing shit from veteran cemeteries or harassing girls on a Portland public transit system and then murdering two guys.
I think we've found a new bit for the show called Shitty White People.
You know, we could just do the whole show with that. We can just do a video of it. It'll just be Kareem doing a victory dance. Spiking the football in the end zone. I told you, motherfuckers.
I told all my black friends to sit out the next 4 years and do what you got to do, because this is white people's problems.
It kind of is. If you're going to point, if you are someone who has ever, ever in your life said to anybody who's African American, you know what's going on in the ghettos, you really should do something about that. You know what's going on with white supremacists and white assholes doing shit? We really should do something about it.
We should.
And my doing something about it is talking about it on the podcast.
This is.
And telling you to do something about it, which is more than most people are going to do. So fuck all y'all.
Well, and there's also, I mean, like, I wouldn't put up with that shit if somebody was doing that in front of me. You know, I mean, like, you have to be vocal about it when you see it. You
well,
know?
But in light of what happened in Portland.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're on a train and this fucking racist asshole is harassing these two teenage girls. And three guys step up and go, hey, stop harassing these girls. They're not doing anything. And two of them end up dead. One of whom is an Army veteran and father of four. You have to really weigh how you stand up to somebody, because some of them are crazy and are willing to kill people.
Yeah.
And then there's a video of him telling somebody the day before that he would stab them.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure. Here's the moral of the story. Don't take the bus.
Oh, man.
although I have ridden that light rail system in Portland. It's super clean. It's super nice. This isn't anything that I would have been like, oh, yeah, this is going to. No, I would not have suspected that would have happened.
Yeah, and President Dumbass has not said anything about.
No. Our president has not in any way, shape or form addressed it. No, in any way, shape, or form.
I saw a tweet just about an hour and a half ago, maybe, because I was saying the same thing, and it came up, but it was ridiculous.
Hold on, was it on the POTUS account?
It may have been.
Okay, because I was... Okay, yep. Okay, here we go. You're right. 9 hours ago from when we're recording this, the violent attacks in Portland on Friday are unacceptable. The victims were standing up to hate and intolerance. Our prayers are with them.
Somebody else wrote that.
Of course.
Yeah. So he's like, we're going to intercept this. Yeah. I'm going to intercept this.
It's on the POTUS account. It's not on the Trump account.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So somebody else wrote that.
Yeah.
Although he does have one. Yeah, see, there are some POTUS things that retweet his personal account. If it's his personal account, those are his words and his thoughts.
Yeah.
The POTUS account is a little bit overseen.
Somebody's like, oh, they're talking about us, not talking about it.
Yeah.
We better talk about it.
We better do something.
Because everybody's been saying that all the whole weekend, everybody's been saying on all the news shows, everybody's been saying he hasn't said anything about it.
But he was tired. All right, guys.
Well,
he was jet lagged.
Sure. He didn't have anything to do about it. Anyway. So at the Trump National Golf Club outside Washington, which hosted the Senior PGA Championship, the President's coat of arms is everywhere. The sign out front, the pro shop, and even the exercise room. The regal emblem used at President Trump's golf courses across the U.S. sports three lions and two chevrons on a shield below a gloved hand gripping an arrow. A different coat of arms flies over Mr. Trump's two golf courses in Scotland. Well, that's weird, right?
Hmm.
You'd think his coat of arms would be the same no matter where you go. The lions there on the shield have been replaced by a two-headed eagle, an image the company says represents the dual nature and nationality of Mr. Trump's Scottish and German roots. Here's the problem, though. The emblem was not just about honoring his heritage. The British are known to take matters of heraldry seriously, and Mr. Trump's American coat of arms belongs to another family. It was granted by British authorities in 1939 to Joseph Edward Davies, the third husband of Marjorie Merriweather Post, the socialite who built Mar-a-Lago Resort that is now Mr. Trump's cherished gateway.
Just because you bought the symbol, does it mean...
You bought Mar-a-Lago, that doesn't mean you got that too. In the United States, the Trump's organization took Mr. Davies' coat of arms for its own, making one small adjustment, replacing the word integras, which is Latin for integrity, with the word Trump. Well, thank God they took the word integrity out, because you know that would be a dead giveaway.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Joseph D. Tidings, a Democrat and former U.S. Senator from Maryland, who's the grandson of Mr. Davies, learned that Mr. Trump was using the emblem, at least at Mar-a-Lago, when he visited the property. Mr. Trump had never asked permission. And now Mr. Tidings says, there are members of the family who want to sue him. This is the first I've ever heard about it being used anywhere else. And Mr. Trump tried to bring the American version of the logo to Scotland a decade ago. He used the emblem on promotional materials when he started marketing a new golf course development in Aberdeenshire on Scotland's east coast. But the materials ran afoul of the coat of arms authorities in Scotland. he hadn't registered the emblem under the Lion King of Arms Act passed by the Scottish Parliament in 1672. You should know about that, right?
You should know about that.
Yeah. Mr. Trump also tried to trademark the emblem in Britain, but the application was rejected by the trademark office. By 2012, when the golf course opened, a new coat of arms had appeared, the same one they used on Ayrshire on Scotland's west coast, which he bought in 2014. That year, Mr. Trump trademarked the redesigned emblem. But even then, Britain's trademark office would not initially acknowledge the earlier application. It provided a copy last month, only after the New York Times made a Freedom of Information request. So this is, not only was it rejected, then it was hidden. it's just a pattern of behavior. It's just a pattern of behavior. Do you know who our president really is? Let me just say this. I'm not far off.
Yeah.
Not far off. But it's one of those things that makes you go, I wonder what's going on with this fella. I wonder what he could be thinking about that. Because it seems very odd that you would just go on ahead and take something for your own without asking permission. That would be like, I don't know, stealing.
Well, that's not his. It's not his concern. He just
stole a coat of arms that said integrity.
Exactly.
Yeah. And put your name on, like,
and put your, like.
At least he didn't steal one that said irony.
Wow.
All right, first up in Cooler Tool, that's what this music means, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
Wendy's, Jason.
Oh, cool. You know why they're cool? Because for a dollar, right around Christmas time, you can buy a little, like, you can donate a dollar and get a free Frosty every day for the rest of the year.
Kareem?
Wendy's is cool.
Yeah, Wendy's is cool. I love Wendy's. Now, in Newport, Vermont, there was only a McDonald's and then a Wendy's came later. There was no burger. There were no other fast food options. Mm. So I'm kind of partial to it, but I love the burgers. Number two combo?
Good burger.
Up next in Cooler Tool, Pennsylvania. Kareem?
Everything outside of Pittsburgh is Tool.
Jason?
that's where my dad's from, but it's Tool.
Pennsylvania is so Tool.
Yeah.
They boo Santa Claus. They throw batteries at things. They punch people with developmental disabilities. They steal from graveyards. I've been able to chronicle it on this show pretty extensively just recently.
Just a Today Show.
Right. Tool. And finally in Cooler Tool, a coat of arms. A coat of arms, Jason.
Oh, well, a coat of arms are so cool.
Kareem.
Tool.
What?
I think it can be cool if you take pride in it, but don't hold it over other people. If you're like, ooh, God, I have a coat of arms and you don't, then it's Tool.
Yeah.
Just saying.
The heraldry aspect of it, you know, going back and finding where it originated or where it came from is nifty.
It can be. Find your roots, if you will.
I worked when I was 17 at a kiosk called the Historical Research Center in Stone Ridge Mall.
Sure.
And I'd sell people their coat of arms with a history of their name.
Okay.
For anywhere from 1995 for just like a printout of it.
Mm-hmm.
$49.95 if you wanted a coat of arms with it also printed out, and that's that. Or you could order, like, you know, full-on, like, wood, you know, emblazoned, you know, shields and, you know, stuff like that. So it was pretty cool. I mean, I enjoyed that job. Learned a lot.
Of ripping people off?
Yeah, we weren't ripping people off.
You printed a piece of paper for $20. You were ripping people off.
We got people. This was before Google. This is before you could just Google. This is before you could just Google what your last name meant. Like, you know, what county of Ireland, you know, the O'Casey's may have came from.
Gotcha. All right.
You just make it up.
Pretty much.
Did y'all have a printout?
Yeah, we printed them right then.
$20 for the printout, Kareem.
We printed out right there, and color too. This was color back in 94, and it was like, it was good print. It was good quality.
Okay.
Everybody in my family got one for Christmas that year.
I believe it.
All right. So Jason, your proposal to the lovely Christine, that went well, right? I mean, she said yes, obviously.
She said yes. It went very, very well.
And my proposal to my lovely life, my lovely wife and life, went well as well. Few hiccups, but, you know, you roll with the punches and do that.
Yeah.
But in Alberta, a man's wedding proposal on a hot air balloon didn't go exactly as planned, but it all came out great because his girlfriend still said yes, and both are excited to have the awesome story to tell. Christine Peters said she wanted to go for a ride in the hot air balloon ever since she was a little girl. She'd wish for it upon a star or when blowing out birthday candles. Peters' partner, Stephen Martin, made that dream come true. That's Mr. Stephen Martin. When they boarded one in Edmonton along with 10 other people. Then another dream came true. He pulled out an engagement ring and Peters said yes. And all of a sudden we were still 30 or 40 feet up in the air and the whole thing shakes and you hear a cracking of branches and... We're in a tree. The balloon was freed, but then it hit another tree and then crashed in a farmer's field. The good news, no one was seriously injured. Martin says they weren't even frightened, which is surprising seeing as how I don't like heights. Looking at it now, he adds, I'm actually glad we went out because it was some kind of crazy adventure. Plus, seeing how I proposed to her, too, it makes for an awesome story. Peters agreed with her new fiancé. It does make for an awesome story.
Yeah.
Those are the least interesting people in the world.
But now they have the most interesting story to tell of how they proposed to each other.
Those people look boring. Kareem, look at those. Don't they look boring?
Yes.
Does he look like he's like 20 years older than her?
He looks like he could be her dad.
Like
that's what I was about to say.
Right? I mean,
he
like,
looks like her father.
Yeah. Well, and that sweater does not help him.
No. Yeah. No, that sweater does not help him. I mean, they're probably somewhere closer to like, you know, in their 30s, but he just looks like Ed O'Neill. It's like Ed O'Neill in Modern Family.
He looks like a boring Ed O'Neill. She does not like Sofia Vergara,
And she doesn't look like Julie either. What's her name? The one that plays Phil Dunphy's wife, Miss
Julie Bowen.
Julie Bowen.
Julie Bowen.
She's pretty cute.
All right. So it wasn't just Donald Trump that caused a spat in England and Europe over the weekend. Belgium's King and Burger King are in a spat over a web ad. Because Belgium's royal family took issues with one of the world's most recognizable monarchs, the Burger King, over a marketing campaign. They say it's disrespectful. The U.S.-based fast food company Burger King, which is set to open its first location in Belgium next month, launched a website in Belgium to promote the opening. It prompts users to pick one, Belgian King Philippe or the company's mascot. If the user picks Philippe, the ad asks, are you sure? He won't be the one to cook your fries. If they pick him again, it just says no. So a spokesman for the Belgian royal family told the BBC the monarchy does not grant permission for photos to be used for profit, as is the case with Burger King's marketing venture, saying we disapprove of this approach. Since it's for commercial purposes, we would not have given our authorization. The website does not use an actual photo of Philippe, only a cartoon likeness of him along with his name.
That's funny.
A Burger King spokesman said they had not received any correspondence about the ad from the royal family. So
they are going to kick them out of Belgium.
I don't know that the Belgian monarchy has any actual power.
And
you're probably right.
They just gave them so much business.
Oh, yeah. Free pub.
All the guys that do not like the king, like that are like the downtrodden, mm-hmm. are like, oh, I'm going to Burger King every time now.
Sure.
Every time.
So I've got the, you see the website. I'll show you guys the website here real quick. There's a lot of, who is the king? Oh, let's see. Can I vote? I'm going to try and vote now. We're going to do here. Oh, there it is. That's not even a likeness of him.
That's not even a likeness.
It's an outline of a dude in profile. All right, let's try King Philippe. I've clicked him. Oh, no.
Are you sure? Etez-vous de voyage?
Yeah, he's not the one who's going to cook your fries. All right. Yeah. Am I sure? Yes. I'm sure.
Are you really sure?
Oh, let me go. Is it going to actually go through? Did they fix that part? And, oh, the vote has been cast. Oh, see, you can keep clicking. Settle down. Settle down, Belgium's king. Yeah. I was able to pick you, you pompous prick.
Yeah.
Relax.
Bitch better have my burger.
You just have to click twice. It just asks you if you're really sure. I mean, that's really the only thing. What everybody's so upset about. God damn. God damn, everybody gets so bent out of shape about stuff.
About everything. I do.
You know, treason. 23 million people getting thrown off health insurance. I don't know. Everybody's just so upset about all these little things here and there that just...
Basing a budget off of $2 trillion error?
Sure. I mean, math. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh. Here's something that you need math for.
Oh, maybe you don't. It's time for sex toy news. By the way, I was researching sex toy news. And So one of the largest sex toy companies is Adam and Eve, and they have an affiliate program.
Oh, yeah?
So I am pondering, do we want to try and get into the Adam and Eve affiliate program?
Do it. Why not?
And then they could sponsor Sex Toy News.
They can sponsor Sex Toy News. They already are.
Sort of.
Sounds like a plan.
They just got a free ad from us. AdamandEve.com. Do your thing. All right. A little sparse on the Sex Toy News this time. This is a headline. Teens caught throwing sex toy in Walmart refused to leave. We were just mentioning Pennsylvania earlier. This comes from Bucks County, Pennsylvania.
Of course it does.
Where police were dispatched to a Walmart after they say two teens were throwing around a male sex toy inside the store. Well, was it a sex toy for a man or a sex toy that looks like a man? Unclear. According to the police, Brian Spiegel, 19, of Lansdale, Pennsylvania, and Justin Urban, 18, of North Wales, refused to leave the store at the request of the employees on Friday night. They were allegedly filming themselves throwing the toy around.
They deserve to go to jail for being stupid enough not to leave before they call the police.
Well, no jail for them. They were cited for disorderly conduct and advised not to return to the store. No more Walmart for you. So
that's pretty funny.
That's gonna do it for.
The thing is, they're too stupid to not go back, so they will be arrested for trespassing.
Most likely, yeah. Hey, are those assholes who were throwing around the sex toy? Yep.
I may have used to get really high when I was like 18, 19 years old, and we would go. We would go to the Walmart, to one of the 24-hour Walmarts. And this was myself and the school, and we would, Rachel and some other people, and I would get like a size 13 Velcro shoe and put them on and walk around the store and ask people if they liked it, they thought how they looked, you know, like what do you think? Do you think they look good on me? It was stupid.
Those were very bad times.
It was so amusing to us.
How well, high yeah, were you?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's like, yeah, stupid 18, 19-year-old. That's, I'm just saying, like, 18-year-old, 19-year-old guy, people do stupid stuff like that.
Exactly.
Like, thinking they're being funny.
Yeah, not funny, just stupid. But
funny to them.
As Kareem said, the stupid part was when they didn't leave when they were asked.
Yeah, you always gotta, when they ask you to leave nicely.
Leave.
Leave.
Yeah.
Leave, get out, and when the police pull you over, you do what they ask.
First, to break the news about golf superstar and Jupiter Island resident Tiger Woods arrested early this morning on suspicion of DUI.
His mugshot now shared around the world. We're waiting to learn if there's any video of the arrest.
And whether he refused a breathalyzer and was Woods alone at the time. We hope to learn all those answers tomorrow when a police report expected to be released.
News Channel 5's Jason Hackett has been following the story since it broke, and he joins us now live in Jupiter, along Military Trail, where officers arrested Woods today. Jason?
Well, Kelly and Michael, Woods' arrest capturing national and international attention here in Jupiter. It happened right out here at around 3 a.m. this morning near the intersection of Military Trail and Indian Creek Parkway. Now, take a look. Here is Woods' mugshot that was released this afternoon. He was booked into the Palm Beach County Jail just before 7:30 this morning.
Pro tip, if you look in the mirror and you see Tiger Woods' mugshot looking back at you, do not drive a car.
Yes.
Even if it's just because you're really tired. Like, I got woken up at 4:30 in the morning because the dog was barking, and I looked like that in the mirror, and I did not want to go get in the car and drive.
From 2 to 5, like, unless you're driving to work, like, you should not be on the road.
To work, from work. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, that's always, like, at that time, if you're driving home from somebody's house or, you know, from a bar, you are going to probably get pulled over.
Uber Black. Yeah. Uber Black. You're Tiger Woods. You can afford Uber Black.
Oh, my God.
I wonder if, and I just wonder if someone tried to take his keys and were greeted with this.
So that's how things have been going for him lately.
That is the worst part of dealing with drunk people when you're.
Oh, yeah.
When you try to help them out, they want to fight you.
Right. Yeah.
We had a friend that got kicked out of the military because of that.
Oh my God! Speaking of fights, I was watching the Giants Nationals game before you guys came over today, and one of the pitchers hit Bryce Harper in the hip with a pitch, and Bryce Harper was pissed. So he comes out. They have some choice words for each other. Bryce Harper tries to throw his helmet at him. It flew off to the side. Didn't happen. Punches were thrown. Each guy landed a punch.
Ooh!
And then the benches empty out. They came out, and the Giants pitcher, it took 4 of his teammates to drag him out of the pile off the field. And he was just like, let me go, let me go. I'm I was just like,
I want to kill this guy.
Yeah, it was crazy.
He didn't even throw the helmet at him. He just threw the helmet. What?
Well, I think he tried to throw the helmet at him.
Yeah,
it just sort of slipped.
A girl.
Well, it slipped out of his hand. That's not a problem. I mean, Bryce Harper took a punch, then he gave a punch, and his hair was perfect, which I've heard people say, and I'm like, oh, well, that's important. Thanks for sharing that bit of knowledge.
Jesus.
But when you're so mad that it takes four of your teammates to drag you off the field, that's craziness.
That's no good.
That's an extra 2-game suspension.
You know, I will say the thing that I do like about going to live baseball is every once in a while you're treated to an awesome like bench clearing.
I think the first time I ever saw a live
was not bench clearing. This one
it was
a
bench.
Yeah, it was
bench clearing wrestling match. It wasn't the fight.
There was a fight and the bench is emptied. But
right.
The whole team
did not fight. But I mean, that's just awesome, though. I mean, that's still a lot of participants. That's cool to witness like that much, you know.
I believe the first time I ever saw a baseball fight in person was when I went to the game in San Diego with you, Jason.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, I've been going to games forever. This is the first time I've ever seen a fight.
Yeah. And that was like the second one I'd seen that year, I think.
They were salty, them Padres.
You know, when you have to live like a monk and you can't, you know, you can't get anything out, you know, you get angry.
It's true.
They take a vow of celibacy on the team.
Very angry. Some good news for It's.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You can now get them in bulk at Costco in Northern California.
Oh, that is so awesome.
As well as multiple other locales. San Francisco Gate got the news via their Facebook page. It seems as though the ice cream sandwiches may be available there for a little while, so not necessarily forever. A company spokeswoman tells SF Gate that the sandwiches have been sporadically available at Costco in the past, but now they're being more widely sold there. It's unclear which Bay Area locations will stock them, and it may not, in fact, be all of them. I've seen them at the one in Woodland. I know I've seen them there before. In all, It will now be theoretically found in Costco stores in Northern California, San Diego, Texas, Washington, Oregon, New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Utah, Louisiana, Alaska, Montana, and Idaho. As a promotion, Costco is giving away an assorted dozen to 4 lucky It fans. All you have to do is like the Facebook photo and tag 2 friends in the comments who live in any of the areas where the sandwiches are being sold. If you don't know what It are, and why it's a big deal, just Google it. I'd never heard of it when I got here because I'm from the East Coast,
right,
and we don't have them there.
I still haven't heard of it.
It's oatmeal cookies with ice cream in the middle, and then dipped in chocolate. And they have the regular flavor that you always got. That was like the original was the vanilla. Which is great. And then they have also chocolate, and they also have mint ice cream version, and I think they have a strawberry. Like they have a variety, but the ones that you can get at the corner store in my house are the mint, chocolate, and the vanilla, which is awesome.
Yeah, they're okay. I thought they were a little overrated
for like $1.52 ice cream sandwich. It's a perfect summer snack.
There we go. And now I am entered into the contest. I tagged you two.
Oh, thanks. Listen, I'm gonna tag.
I don't know that that actually spread the word, but
I'm gonna continue that tree.
There you go. It's a long tree with many branches. So enjoy as it gets hot. Your it ice cream treat. However you would like to do that. All right, let's wrap it up with this.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
All righty. Let me get everything squared away here. Derp, 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 derp. Hey, people have been writing to Speak Out in the Press Republican a lot lately, and that's good news for us. Hey, someone seemed to be unhappy with Hobby Lobby being closed on Sunday. Good for them. If they respect their religion that much, it's wonderful, while also being considerate to their employees. They, too, have a weekend at home with their families. 6 days a week being open is enough. Stores were always closed on Sunday years ago. Get your priorities in order. Yeah, I don't care.
I'm fine with that. Like, if you want to take Saturdays off, if you want to take Mondays off, like,
do whatever.
If you're a business owner, do what you want.
Yeah, you're the one who has to make money with it.
If you want to act like you're really being religious, then how about you actually do it on the actual Sabbath, which is Saturday?
Not according to their religion.
According to what religion?
Not Jew. Saturday is for them Jews, Kareem.
And the Seventh-day Adventists.
It's true.
Because that is their true Sabbath.
I don't know, man. Those Mormons think it's Sunday. Catholics think it's Sunday. That's where I get all my stuff from. Yeah, Mormons and Catholics.
What Bible do they come from?
From the Catholic one.
It's the Old Testament. That's where it starts. That's the same one.
Yeah, but
one.
Kareem, there's a New Testament.
It's the same
one.
It doesn't fit the with the Roman calendar,
the New Testament,
all right?
The New Testament did not say we're switching to Sabbath from Sunday to Saturday. It doesn't do it.
It says a lot of things, Kareem. I haven't read them all. I'm just telling you what they
are. Wait until we get onto space and it doesn't matter.
It does not,
all right?
Does not change.
Wait until we're rotating around another sun in a galaxy far away, mm-hmm. and Monday through Sunday doesn't even matter anymore.
Yeah, you can be one of those assholes that say, today is my Saturday.
Or you could be like, I don't know what a weekend is because I just work 40 hours this week and then I have 2 days off.
Right. Let's continue. Computer age gone mad. Nobody is safe anymore. We have hacking of emails and bank accounts, and now we have voter fraud and healthcare records breached. The only thing left now is our infrastructure to the country. I think we should rethink our policies and go back to paper for the most sensitive stuff and stop relying on man-made machines. We are dealing with sensitive information and valuable needs to everyone's life. Perhaps knowing other people's dirty business isn't as important after all. Is this payback?
I wonder if he understands how the newspaper is made. Does he realize?
Apparently that not.
They use a machine. I mean, newspapers have always been made by machines.
Well, I think he's talking about like at the government, they would just have a literal paper file.
Oh, man.
By the way, if you Chipotle was one that was hacked. If you ate at Chipotle from, I believe it was March 25th through the second week in April, your information is at risk if you swiped your card.
Mm.
And there's a list of Chipotle's. Our Fox 40 website had a bunch of them in this area.
That's
yeah.
Good thing I don't eat at Chipotle.
Mm-hmm. I did not use my card. I used a gift card.
I don't believe I ate at Chipotle in that time frame. That was during the Whole 30, and I did not eat at Chipotle during Whole 30. So, meh. Hey, when you attend a softball game for your child, you'd expect there to be an umpire. This is not the case at our school. Maybe too much time is being spent organizing the weight room for only the male basketball players that we can't arrange for umpires at games. Focus on all sports equally.
I mean, there's a point to be said there, you know. They should have umpires for all the games.
Signed, angry lady.
Or it could be angry dad.
It could be.
Listen, I will be up the school's ass. I will be up their ass if my daughter doesn't have something that she should have. But there's somebody else getting the use of something else.
So now it will be jet ski races. Perhaps the taxpayers living in the area should be consulted about these events. Maybe they'd prefer a quiet weekend, something that is fast becoming obsolete for people living in the area. How would you like it in your yard?
Did this person write in like 2 weeks ago?
Probably.
It was from like 2 weeks ago.
How would you like it in your yard? I'm just asking, how would you like it in your yard?
Well,
you probably wouldn't like it in your yard. I'm just saying.
I don't know.
Be bad times in your yard.
Everything has a price, buddy.
It is always good to give people advice on their life and how they can make life challenges better. But unless you've truly walked in their shoes and understand the damage that shaped them, it isn't as easy to tell them how to change or make a change that we see fit. Some people are so severely broken, it takes small steps to regain trust in people. As they've been let down by people who are once close to them and other family when they needed them most, especially during hardships. Some people simply choose to walk away at the 11th hour. It's pretty deep for the paper.
Wow.
Recently, I brought my children to the Rouse's Point Rec Park and was sad to see the conditions of the grounds. No upkeep of the playground equipment, mud holes through the grounds, long grass along tennis courts, dugouts, and bleachers. The beautiful path that was put in last year has long grass along the sides because dirt was never brought to the edge with grass seed. Maybe Rouse's Point should take some tips from surrounding towns on park upkeep. I was just reading an article that talks about the 50 states with the biggest drug problems, and Vermont ranks second, and New York ranks 13th. I hope the New York State Police and other entities keep an eye on the drug trafficking that comes in and out of Vermont. Is anyone worried? We have three superpower countries who have no idea what to do with North Korea. We have both parties arguing over security leaks and collusion with Russia from November elections. It would be nice to see both parties working together for the good of the citizens of America and quit trying to slit each other's throats because they can't get their way. And now we have Osama bin Laden's son who wants to create more havoc on America's mainland and abroad. Let's not allow the mumbo-jumbo to cloud over what's really important and forget the American interests and people here and abroad.
The hell were they talking about?
Exactly. That's somebody who watches a lot of Fox News.
Yeah.
Is what I'm telling you. Good God. Anyway, that's what's bothering the people of Plattsburgh, New York.
Oh, it's good to know. And knowing's half the battle.
It's the drugs in Vermont. The drugs in Vermont are a real issue. New York State Police needs to keep an eye on them.
Was sarcastic, right? They were like,
No. It was not sarcastic.
It wasn't like all the drugs are coming from New York into Vermont. That's where they're
No. They're saying because Vermont ranked higher on the list that
they're coming into New York.
Coming into New York.
Wow. Makes sense, though. I mean, Vermont's less, I'm sure, like a lot less seemingly like.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Poor Vermont.
There's a drug pipeline that goes from Boston through Vermont, and there's one that goes from New York City up through upstate New York.
Mm.
And they sort of rendezvous in Montreal.
Yeah.
So the idea that one or the other is the issue. Is kind of missing the whole point.
Right.
But that's the whole point of Speak Out, is everybody is missing the point.
Oh, man.
I don't know what Osama bin Laden's son's doing, but...
Yeah, what's going on with that?
I don't know. I've seen a couple people reference it, but I don't read Breitbart, so who knows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm guessing that's where it comes from. Maybe I'll look into it between shows and we can find out what Osama bin Laden's son is up to.
Yeah, we'll see. See what's up.
He's a vice president in the Trump organization. I don't know.
Who knows?
Who knows?
For a brief period of time, he was a bag boy for the Trump Towers that are in Pakistan.
Trump Tower, Pakistan. All right, that's going to do it for the show. We're going to go out with something in honor of the It's. Make you feel better and cool yourself off with a little Van Halen. See you on Friday with a fresh new show, everybody. Late. Keep you cool. Better look out now, though. Dave's got something for you. Tell you what it is. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. Oh, my, my. I'm your ice cream man. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on a second, baby. I gotta put my banana in Dixie cups. All flavors and push-ups too. I'm your ice cream man, baby. Stop me when I'm passing by. See, now all my flavors are guaranteed to satisfy. Hold on one more. Well, I'm usually passing by just about 11 o'clock. I never stop. I'm usually passing by just around 11 o'clock. And if you let me cool you one time, you'll be my regular stop. All right, boys. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening, and please support the show by shopping Amazon through the Shop Amazon tab at NateDarlingShow.com.
Guaranteed.